The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Palpably Unfair Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Posey. I am joined by Kate Matsu. Kate, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm not as good as I could be. We got the week one NFL schedule, and my Pittsburgh Steelers are facing the Buffalo Bills at home. By home, I mean their home. So I'm pretty sure they're going to body slam the entire Pittsburgh offense and defense through a table at the Buffalo Bills field. I can't expect anything less than that, but yay, we have a schedule. We have, like, we could start analyzing and talking about who's going to suck sooner in the season versus later in the season. It's going to be so much fun.
If you could not tell, the NFL will be releasing their schedule on Wednesday afternoon. We are going to dissect that. We are going to give you our favorite matchup from week one. We are going to give you the matchup that is not so good in week one, and I am going to touch on the game that Kate just talked about, spoiler. And we're also going to talk about some of our favorite matchups down the line, just from the rumors and leaks that have been going on just early on Wednesday morning. So yeah, let's get right into it, Kate. Yes, absolutely. So Thursday night football, usually Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay, they get Dallas first. So we're going to see Dak Prescott. Everybody will watch the Cowboys. Everybody's always going to tune into the Cowboys, no matter how that team is. But you know, Dak back on national TV. I like that. I like that matchup. And I think that, you know, that will be just a good game to watch just as a football fan. What was your initial take when you saw those two teams?
See, I think I was very excited to see the matchup, but to see it happen in week one, I don't want to see Dak Prescott shaking off rust against Tom Brady. I want to see him after maybe three or four games where he's tested the ankle. He feels really good. He's building that confidence because this is a matchup. Who wouldn't want to watch the weapons that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have employed against a Dallas defense that hasn't gotten much better, significantly better? And then on the other side of the ball, you have the Dallas Cowboys, one of the best wide receiver cores in the NFL. Super fun. But I do worry, what if we do have a little bit of some bumps in the road? Because you know what? The Tampa Bay Bucs, they are a good defense. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit of that rust falling off throughout.
Yeah, there's definitely always a worry about the rust. And since everything is, you know, such an overreaction in week one, what would happen is Dak has a little rust because he didn't play for the majority of 2020. And people are going to be like, see, Dak sucks. See this, see that.
Where, see, they like, paid on. Him too much money. Yeah. And you know, it's going to be Dallas Cowboys fans that are going to be doing the most of the whining. It's just that's going to be the way that it is. But I'm ready for that narrative. So I'm going to, like, I'm just automatically, I don't even know what the over-under is for that game, but I'm smashing the under. I just don't think we're going to see all the fireworks that we necessarily might have if we got to see it a little bit later in the season. But that's okay. We've got some other games of week one that we can talk about here. Got the full release.
So So in that game, the Bucks, and just real quick, since both of us are degenerates, proud degenerates, by the way, the Bucks are 7.5-point favorites or 7-point favorites, somewhere middling between those two numbers. Do you think that is too high?
I do think that's a little high, especially with the fact that I would just generally think, especially as an opener in the game against, you know, a strong Tampa Bay defense who's going to be at home. I would just project this game to be relatively lower scoring, but I would have them a little bit closer together. Even if they do have some of that rust, they still have Ezekiel Elliott. They still have plenty of weapons there. My issue is that I want to see Dak at full strength, but I think there's plenty there to make that a relatively close game with the guys that they have on the roster.
So let's talk about our favorite matchups, and I'm going to start in week one. So to me, I'm going with the Cleveland Browns against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I love this.
They're playing at Arrowhead Stadium. That is a late game kickoff, so that'll be on CBS, and I imagine everyone in the world will be tuning into that. So we have Baker Mayfield, we have Patrick Mahomes, and we have the Chiefs' new look offensive line, who apparently it took them getting their teeth kicked in the Super Bowl to invest in their offensive line. So good on you, General Manager Brett Veach. And now Patrick Mahomes won't have to be running for his life. However, I mean, the Browns also added to their defensive line this offseason. So it'll be a really good matchup just in the trenches. And then you have all types of speed on the outside. So the Browns, they're getting OBJ back. I cannot wait to watch him play. I hope he is healthy, because every year he has been my favorite receiver in the NFL. I still think he's underrated. I know he hasn't played in a while. I still think he's one of the, you know, the better. I would go as far to say like top three receivers in the NFL. They brought back Higgins, who I feel like we both have talked about on
the
show.
Yes, I love Rashard Higgins. And like, I have the box score up from their last matchup. And like the fact that we got to see this good of a game last season with names like Rashard Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Harrison Bryant, like these were the big playmakers. David Njoku, like these were the guys that had a big impact. Jarvis Landry had 10 targets, 7 receptions for 20 yards and a touchdown. Imagine this with OBJ back into the mix. I think that's so fun. So fun.
So they also have a rookie that's pretty interesting, Anthony Schwartz, who's probably the fastest player in the draft, or who the fastest player was just drafted. He ran a 10 flat 100 meter dash. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with track and field, DK Metcalf, who ran a 4.33, just ran a 10.36. So Schwartz can flat out fly. He's Olympic speed. So that'll be interesting to see him being implemented into Cleveland's offense. So yeah, just everything about this matchup is fun. And obviously, you just talked about week one and how, you know, just weird, quirky things tend to happen. But there's so much talent on the field between these two teams that it'll just be must-see TV. And hopefully, you know, we get some crazy type of points. And it's not much so much as, you know, when these two teams met in the playoffs where it's lower scoring. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to watch that. Who was your week one matchup that you're looking forward to?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Don't judge me. Listeners, loyal listeners, do not judge me. Because it would be palpably unfair if you did. Yeah. I'm going with the Jets versus the Panthers. Again, never in my wildest dreams would I have said that that's like an exciting week one matchup. But I love the storylines here. I love what each team has done to put themselves in a better position for the 2020 season. I love the Jets. The moves they've made are interesting. They've made the right move at coaching staff. They've got a new franchise quarterback. It's like new Jets, who dis? And it's new Panthers, who dis? And you've got Christian McCaffrey getting back onto the field. Sam Darnold, I think we're finally going to see a version of Sam Darnold that we haven't seen before. And not even to say that he's going to play better, because we don't know that he will, but at least I think we're going to have him put in a position where if he plays poorly, we can stop making the excuses. I think it could be a really fun and interesting game just from a narrative standpoint. You know, the Jets moving on, Sam Darnold comes back for the revenge game. That's going to be fun to watch.
So unquestionably, these will be the best weapons that Darnold has ever thrown to
ever
in his NFL career. So DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and then they drafted Terrence Marshall in the second round, who his offensive coordinator in college is calling plays in the NFL. And then, yeah, that Christian McCaffrey guy who is pretty solid himself. And they also drafted a tight end in the third round. So, and I mean, just you can keep going down and down. Liz Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, Tommy Tremble, well. One of the best tight ends in this class. You have Chuba Hubbard, who, like, let's say he had not declared for this season. Say he had went in last year's draft, like he should have. He would have been right. A much earlier pick, and he could have found himself in a much better position for maybe some starting work, first and second down work, as opposed to the situation that he's in. But there's a lot of really fun moving pieces that I think are going to make these teams a little bit more exciting in the 2021 season than we've seen in recent years past, at least.
And on the other side of the ball, you have Zach Wilson, who we don't like. What are we going to expect? He's a number two overall pick, but I feel like he is much just a bigger question mark than some of the other quarterbacks have taken, just because the level of competition, not unlike Trey Lance, but he was playing at BYU, and a lot of the games that Wilson played in, it either seemed like they were blowouts or they just weren't very competitive at all. So we're going to have to see what he can do. But at the same time, they had a very strong offseason like the Panthers. So Corey Davis, who I think is much better than people give him credit for, you will see Denzel Mims take a jump, I imagine. And then there's Jamison Crowder. And then there is my guy, Elijah Moore, who I would have had no problem him going in the first. Yes, he is such a stud. So those three pass catchers right there. And then Mekhi Becton was their left tackle last year who they selected. And they're going to pair their first round pick with Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC. So just doubling down on their quarterback. And they also are going to have a better defense, you would assume, with Robert Saleh. So let me ask you this. Who had a better offseason, the Panthers or the Jets?
I'm going to go with the Panthers just because I think they put themselves in a closer position to actually being like a winning team. I think the Jets have done a nice job, but I still think they have some work to do on offense. They drafted running back Michael Carter out of UNC, which I think is a great pick, but doesn't necessarily have that full-bodied NFL like size that you would want in a running back for a three down guy. So they're really just, they're missing a full time running back. They have like LaMichael Perine, Tevin Coleman, and Michael Carter. It just doesn't, I'm not super excited about that room in general. And I think that they could have made a little bit more of a push and been a little bit more aggressive in terms of getting just a solid receiver. I think Corey Davis was a really nice grab. Denzel Mims, you know, jury's still out. Jamison Crowder, I think, is pretty underrated, but I wish I would have seen them go out and sign like a Kenny Golladay, a true wide receiver one, kind of like, you know, Odell Beckham. He is the wide receiver one. I don't think any of these guys fit that profile for me right now, and I think that would have been a move I like to see them make.
So I am interested to see if, now that Corey Davis is no longer has that, you know, top five, you know, label with him, if he just plays looser, he just plays better. So we'll see. And then, you know, just playing with a rookie quarterback, that's not going to be easy. So let's get on to the matchups that we did not like as much. And you started off, for those that don't know, Kate, big Steelers fan. Kate, not going to enjoy week one. Based on what I'm thinking is going to happen, I imagine she and other Steelers fan think the same. So my biggest disappointment was just the Bills and the Steelers. I feel pretty good about the Bills having the best roster in the NFL. I think that they are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. I cannot say the same for the Steelers, which is why this – and, you know, you can't match up everybody against, you know, the top teams in the NFL. But I just feel like this is not a matchup that the Steelers want to enter the season in, just because I feel like the Bills are going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. I don't know if Josh Allen is going to continue to play at that MVP type of level, but there's not going to be this crazy drop off for him. Let's just talk about what the Steelers did this offseason. So first of all, Najee Harris, absolute stud. I know you're not supposed to take a running back in the first round. He is a guy that you take in the first round. And I do not care what anybody says. He is that good, and he will be that good. However, after that, Kate, I'm going to need your help because I don't know, man. I don't know if I would have took the tight end in the second round that high. I don't know that they did any – and they don't really have to do anything on their defense just because they really have a strong defense. But they got some good player in their secondary last year. I don't know if that's sustainable. And I also just don't think Big Ben is a guy who is going to be able to last very long, just as far as him being able to play at a high level into the season. Luckily, it's week one, but I just think the Bills are going to stomp Pittsburgh. Tell me why I am wrong.
I'm hoping you're wrong. So a couple of things about the Steelers that I think are just generally overlooked. Ben Roethlisberger did get injured last season. He had, I believe, two MCL injuries. And that's really when we saw just a more significant dip in the average depth of target, which has been killer. I mean, when you're only throwing the ball 5 yards down the field, you're not even making it to the first down marker with that target on, half of your passes. That's a problem. That's a huge problem for just your offensive weapons, the way you can spread the field. That's not going to work. But the key that was missing last season, their offensive line, they did get rid of Villanueva in free agency. He went over to the Ravens, but I think it's actually kind of interesting. Villanueva was one of the biggest liabilities on that offensive line last season. So will we see some shuffling? Yes. Do I think that Pat Freiermuth can be maybe an instant impact guy as a blocker? I think so. I think he's a pretty well-rounded NFL tight end coming into the league. And then I think their third round pick, I'm really liking Kendrick Green. All the research I'm doing graded very well as a rush blocker. So if they throw him maybe in at center, we'll see how it shakes out and how the depth chart works out. But I do think that, I mean, the offensive weapons on the Steelers side, it's really hard to argue with the talent of Najee Harris. And I mean, just this whole wide receiver core is incredible. The Bills defense, like, let's say they do go ahead and, maybe lean on that run game a little bit more. The Bills were pretty middle of the pack against the run last season. We'll see how the draft picks that they've added in this 2021 draft will impact that run. But I think there's a chance, but I'm not holding my breath. It really hurts to say, but as somebody who I enjoy watching the Bills, I'm bummed because I wish I could enjoy both teams in their first games in week one, but I cannot. It won't happen.
So I know he gets a lot of flack, but you have a chance so long as Mike Tomlin is the head coach.
Yep.
And that is a compliment because I do think he's a lot better coach than given credit for, even though he's been around for what feels like 50 years, people still kind of give him a bad rap. So I will say, so speaking of the Bills defense, they doubled down on edge rushers here. So I imagine they're going to be hungry and they're going to be wanting to get after Big Ben there. So let's talk about your biggest disappointment. Who do you got for week one?
I'm actually going to go with the 49ers versus the Lions. Just blah. Just, I can't think of a more blah, I don't care game than this. And you know what? I don't know who you could have pinned the Lions against that I wouldn't have picked this for my disappointing game, because I just feel like nobody wants to watch the Lions this season. And I don't blame any of us. But I think this was an awful, awful scheduling move. I think with the splash the 49ers made this offseason with trading up to number 3, taking Trey Lance, drafting Trey Sermon, like, that's going to be really fun to watch. They've got a good defense. They should be a healthier team this season. So I want to see them up against an equally competitive team right out of the gate. You put, you know, some of your rookies into other situations. We don't know if we'll see Trey Lance week one, but if he does, like, honestly, great, great move to put him under center, because the Lions defense is not going to shake him up or rattle him or roll him. It's just boring. It's such a boring game. It's blah. I don't want to. No, pass on the Detroit Lions indefinitely.
Not a fan of Dan Campbell and his theatrics, are you?
If we could have put, like, the 49ers, if we saw, you know, a divisional rivalry game, like, right out of the gate, I think that would have been fun. 49ers versus Seahawks, I think that would have been so sexy for week one. This is not sexy. And the 49ers are a sexy team right now. Do better, NFL. Do better.
And this goes back to, you know, it's so tough to pair all these top teams with each other. And I don't know if it's even fair to convince or to make the argument for the 49ers being a top team, considering they just came off of a 6-10 season. However, the Lions are as unsexy as it gets. So first of all, their quarterback is Jared Goff, and we can probably start and stop there.
Yep.
But, you know, they took a lineman who is never going to be a sexy thing to talk about. And then their defense was so, so, so bad last year. They spent a lot of picks after the first round, their third, their fourth, their second, their third, on the defense, specifically the defensive line. But it's just hard for rookies to make an impact right away. Speaking of, the 49ers, they're going to play the Lions and the Eagles to start the season. Some feel like, you know, maybe that is going to be even more of a reason to, you know, roll Trey Lance out there to start. But I don't know. Again, it's a rookie. He's making the jump, and you want to just make sure that he is A-okay. But if there were two defenses to start a season, it would be Philly and Detroit. Okay, so we have no disagreement there, by the way. 49ers, Lions, it's a bit of a snoozer. There is nothing that I can even argue with on that. And I cover the freaking 49ers for a living. So
wake me up when the game's over.
Right. That's one of those games where you're going to have another, like me specifically, I'll have another game on in the background so I can actually watch something entertaining. Because, yeah, I just can't imagine a Lions game being entertaining. So let's move on to the rest of the schedule. And before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about what we're looking forward to seeing. All right, we are back, and we're going to talk about the best game and our biggest disappointment each. Moving on after week one. So, Kate, let's start with you. Where are you going? What are you looking forward to based on the leaks and the rumors so far?
The leaks and the rumors have been excellent. We already have like three, I think, at this moment. We already have three full schedules leaked out. It's been fantastic. We've gotten a lot of data so far. But the best rumor yet is the Chiefs-Bills matchup, Sunday Night Football, Week 5. Give me all of the Josh Allen versus all of the Patrick Mahomes. Give me these offenses going head-to-head. This is like the most fun game of all time. And obviously my favorite running back from the 2020 class, Zach Moss, he's going to have broken out by this point. It's just going to be a fantasy fest, I think. And this is the game where I want to see the remake of the Chiefs Rams game in prime time a couple of years ago. That's what I'm projecting for week 5, smashing the over. And I don't even know what it is yet.
Okay, you don't know what the over is. Let's predict that. What do you so let me say over under 53.
Over.
You think it's going to be more than that? Oh, wow. So you're thinking points. This one's going to be nonstop.
This is going to be a big mama jama, and it's going to be fun. I do think that Vegas is going to score this appropriately though, so I don't think they're going to give you a bargain on the point total, but I just think this is such a fun this would be a fun matchup at any point, but Sunday Night Football, lock that in as one of the games of the season, please. As long as everybody's healthy, and that's what I like too. Get it early on in the season while you hope you've still got all of your roster nice and healthy and fresh. It's going to be a fun one.
So apparently this is just a Bills love fest show because
my gosh,
coming up. I know. December 1st. Buffalo Bills at Tampa Bay. So you have the GOAT, the best to ever do it, Tom Brady. And he's going against Josh Allen, who we have talked about, who even if he plateaus, he's going to be a very, very, very good player. If he keeps ascending, we're talking about something special. And Josh Allen's just fun to watch because you don't know what he's going to do. At the very best, he's making these crazy throws. And then there are times where he does like these head-scratching plays where, hey, man, what are you doing? But that's what makes him fun to watch. And the Bills are just such a well-coached team. Tampa Bay brought everybody back, which I loved. And they're going to be another team to watch, obviously, because they're fresh off of a Super Bowl. But you just want to see, you know, how they answer. And Tom Brady, as you imagine, he's going to have that team ready to go week in and week out. So I'm looking forward to the Bills in Tampa Bay, because I'm not going to say it's going to be like the Chiefs, Rams, or even the Chiefs, Bills early in the season that you just mentioned, but it's going to be an entertaining game and there will be plenty of points. And as you can tell, based on the teams that we are picking, that's what we root for. We root for points.
We root for the Bills also, right? And also, I just want to go back, Kyle, because you said the GOAT is going to face off against Josh Allen. The GOAT is going to face off against Tom Brady. Boom. I said it.
I like it.
I said it.
I like
it.
Okay. So since we're here, since we're throwing out all these are you calling your shot that Josh Allen MVP 2021?
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm ready. I think Josh Allen was ready last season. It was so unfortunate because if Josh Allen would have had his 2020 season pretty much any other time, any other year, it would have been an MVP season. But I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he played too darn well. But yeah. I think that they've, again, put themselves in a really good position with the weapons that they have. I think they've just done such a good job at building around from the top to bottom, bottom up, however you want to say that. Josh Allen has every single tool that he needs to be able to succeed. And I mean, let's be honest, they're still in that position where I think they are undoubtedly the best team in their division. They've got that edge over the NFC East. It's like whichever team is leading the NFC or AFC East in any given year, if there's anybody with a clear edge, just give it all to them, because the AFC East is just, it's a wash. It's nothing.
So the Bills are stacked, and they already had Stephon Diggs, who is arguably one of the best receivers in the NFL, and nobody's going to debate that. Cole Beasley, who had an all-pro vote, and no matter what you think about that, he was good enough to have an all-pro vote. They added Emmanuel Sanders, who has been stuck with middling quarterbacks the last couple of years, and I mean that by, you know, Drew Brees, Jimmy Garoppolo, just aren't guys who are going to challenge throws down the field. So I think if anything, Emmanuel Sanders, we could be looking at this as one of the best offseason additions, because I really, really like his fit with a quarterback gunslinger mentality like Josh Allen. So we got to talk about the disappointments, and we both have a lot of the same when we're talking about, I'll start, the tradition of the Lions playing on Turkey Day. I don't know why we're doing this. I don't know why we cannot change this. What has to happen for them to change? How many times have they lost? Maybe I should have had this ready, but I would love to know the number of games in a row that the Lions have lost on Turkey Day. It seems like most of these games aren't even competitive. They're just not a fun team. And now we have to watch Jared Goff on national TV in the middle of the day, presumably, while our family is around. So most people, they watch football on Thanksgiving to get away from their family. Now they are trying to get away from their family with Jared Goff. And that roster, just not a good roster right now. Then I'm sure they're going to do a great job of rebuilding it, but it's not there right now. So just we have to get the Lions off of national TV.
The Lions' official record, their full complete record on Thanksgiving, 37-42-2. So they have a losing record on Thanksgiving, as we would have all projected. They've lost the last three matchups. Last Thanksgiving game one was against the Minnesota Vikings in 2016. I just, again, wake me up as soon as the Lions game is over. This is one of my disappointments. So I'm just going to say there's three Thanksgiving games, right? One of them is a good, fun matchup, but these other two are just garbagio. I'm loving the matchup at home. I'm loving the matchup where the Bills play the Saints. Again, it's a Bills love fest. They're going to take the stage prime time Thanksgiving night. Very fun. But what about the rest of these games? We've got the Raiders on Thanksgiving, the Lions, like what? I don't want to watch any of these teams on Thanksgiving. I need alcohol. If I'm going to need a stiff drink after my engorgement of food. And then I want to sleep through these games because I don't want to watch it. Wake me up when it's time for the Bills.
So you can flex out Sunday night games from week 5 to week 17, you should be able to flex out Thanksgiving games.
Agree.
Because as we know, like leading up to this, the odds of the Raiders and the Lions having a winning record or just being competitive, like they're low. And why do we have to pretend like that is not the case? Because this happens every year when we do this. So yeah, the Turkey Day slate, a bit of a buzzkill, a bit of a bummer. So hopefully, you know, these other games that we're talking about, they just live up to the hype. And usually they do. And to be fair, the NFL, they do give us games every now and then where we weren't expecting much. And hopefully we get something better, because my other disappointment, I saw one leak where the Giants are playing the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Somebody went through the schedule and was like, you know what would be good against Patrick Mahomes on national TV? Danny Dimes, baby. Let's do it. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know how. But I would love to hear that explanation because, you know, NFC East, who have, you know, the biggest fans, the best, not the best fans, the biggest fan base, and they're always going to be covered. So the Giants, interesting. Hopefully Saquon is healthy by the time that they play. You know, hopefully Kenny Galladay is doing his thing. Hopefully we get a healthy season from John Ross. But think of everything that I'm saying right now. Hopefully. I love Darius Slayton. Kenny Galladay, he's fine. I mean, what? But, you know, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph, these guys, are they going to be enough to, you know, score, keep up with the Chiefs? The Giants, in their defense, they did have a good defense last year, but it always comes back to the quarterback. And I don't know what we've seen from Danny Dimes to put him on the national stage here. Do you have any thoughts on the G-Man?
I just think it's all the moving pieces. I think they did pretty well in free agency. The move to acquire a true wide receiver one for Danny Dimes. This is kind of like the moment. It's the anti-Jared Goff situation where they've put him in a position where, yes, put up or shut up. You're either a quarterback or you're not. And what if he is? I don't know. Like that, it could be a sneaky good matchup. And, you know, I don't know. I don't think the Giants defense is good enough to stop Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, we will see some glimmer of hope for Danny Dimes. Or, you know what, if nothing else, maybe he breaks off a 90-yard run and trips at the end zone. Maybe.
There, he is good for that. There are quarterbacks, though, who would kill to have these weapons. So Kyle Rudolph, Evan Ingram, those are your tight ends. Two tight ends who will be able to, you know, give you production. And then I mentioned Slayton, Galladay, John Ross. They drafted Kadarius Toney, so he has plenty of weapons. It's just about, you know, he's out of Daniel Jones is out of excuses now. So there's no better way to end a show on the Giants, talking about the Giants football team. So we want to thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe, review, leave us 5 stars wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Kate, do you have anything that you want to plug before we get on out of here?
Yeah, give me a follow at FF Ball Blast. We'll talk some football, and you can tell me how badly the Steelers will lose on Twitter. You can let me know week one what to expect. I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts. This was a good time, and everybody enjoy the schedule release, because there's lots more to come.